Welcome to the Reality Show Life Coach Podcast, the only podcast that brings on weekly guests to drop self-help wisdom on the casts of popular reality shows like The Bachelor. I'm your host, Lynn Grogan. I am a certified life coach who helps people escape the status quo and live a fulfilling life on their own terms. Let's go.
It's a reality show, whoa, Life Coach with Lynn Grogan.
All right. Welcome back to the Reality Show Life Coach Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about Love is Blind, Season 6, Episodes 5 and 6. And today, I have a special guest, Kim Severson. Kim, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Okay. Hi, Lynn. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Kim Severson. I always like to say I'm the weight loss coach for people who hate dieting. I host a podcast called Weight Loss Doesn't Have to Suck, and I help my clients lose weight. Well, for starters, stop restrictive dieting, get off that hamster wheel of yo-yoing and trying and failing and frustration and all of that that we all know so well, and lose weight in a much kinder, gentler way, a lot of connection to your body and its cues and signals. We do a lot of emotional resilience work, so you don't need food to cope, and it is just a joy and an honor. So
I love that focus for weight loss. You know, you and I have met in the past and, you know, I used to do weight loss coaching, and that I do have a few of my clients that are still doing, you know, the weight loss focus. And that's definitely the direction that I love coaching into, is more the intuition and connecting with your body and not being restrictive, because I think it's so easy to fall into that trap.
Yeah, it's a game changer. And people don't know that there's a whole nother way to lose weight that actually shifts so much internally, and it's, you know, change from the inside out. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And what is your history with watching Love is Blind? Because I know you're a super fan.
I'm a reality TV super fan. I am OG. I was just reflecting last night. Like, I remember when I was way too young to be watching The Real World, I remember sneaking downstairs and watching my mom's TV, like over her shoulder covertly. So I've been in this game for a while, but I love Love is Blind. The first season was like lightning in a bottle, and I've watched every single episode. I think they've fallen off for the last couple of seasons, but I think this one we're back. I'm really enjoying it. And
100%, 1000%, maybe if we will, from the show, 1000%. I know we've been discussing that around this household as well. Like, it feels like it's back. Obviously, their focus is shifted basically from love to, oh yeah, people love trashy trash reality shows.
We do.
You know, as we discussed today, we also, you know, take it with a grain of salt that editing is not very kind to some of these humans. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of these things is of their own making, but, you know, we'll look at it from the coaching perspective, and, you know, there's probably going to be some dishing here and there.
I love it.
But Kim, I know you have a lot of thoughts. I was so delighted reading through. We have a little note stock that we're working from. So just as a recap, because I don't know about you, I'm emotionally at the altar right now. I cannot wait to see what happens tonight. Yes. Tonight is they have dropped the last episode before the reunion as we are recording this. But if you, we're in the pods still for 5 and 6. Mm-hmm. Chelsea picks Jimmy. Jeremy picks Laura, and then all five couples head to the Dominican Republic for their little vacation phase. So that is where we're at. It's a little disjointed because I'm like, pods and then Dominican Republic. So we have there's a lot that happens.
Yeah, a lot goes on during these episodes, and, you know, we take it to the streets and they actually meet each other. So
right?
Fun stuff.
Well, I think let's start in the pods, though, because you had some great notes about Chelsea and like how she's picking Jimmy and Trevor. Do you want to kick off with that and just share like what was on your mind about that?
Well, this was frustrating as a viewer who's a coach, because, you know, one of the major things we do is help people make decisions. And I just really wanted to get in there with Chelsea and get some more information about how she was choosing, who she was choosing, or, as you pointed out, if she even was, because I think that the dynamic is so interesting that the women appear to be waiting to be chosen, mm-hmm. and the men appear to be leading the charge there, which is, I don't know if that's how it's set up, or they just kind of like naturally fall into those roles. That in and of itself is interesting, but as the viewer, I didn't get a lot of information about how Chelsea was actually making this choice. What were the benefits and drawbacks of choosing Jimmy, or the benefits and drawbacks of being chosen by Trevor? And I wanted to go into all of that with her.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's interesting too. Like, as you were saying that, I was thinking about how Chelsea was just like, well, I just don't know like how I'm feeling or whatever a lot. But then when she made her decision, she's just like, I don't know. I just have to go based on how I feel. I'm like, that's a little disjointed to me if you don't know how you feel, but yet you're going based on feeling. And to me, it was really fascinating because I don't know if this is editing. I thought she was going to pick Trevor. And we probably wouldn't be having this. I wouldn't be drawn to having this conversation if she had picked Trevor, because I think to me, their dynamic seemed very fluid. They seemed to be like really into each other. And so when she picked Jimmy, I was equally confused as you were of like, wait, what thoughts went into this? So
literally why?
Literally why? Yeah. Why Jimmy? Why Jimmy for anyone? But yeah.
Well, yeah, I have a lot of questions about that, but and I don't know that she was even able to articulate that to herself. And Trevor went ahead and asked her that point blank. And she just said, I remember watching this. She was like, I just want you to know the decision was really hard for me. But she didn't say why, and she didn't say what was driving it. So I'm just curious whether that was even sorted out for her in her own brain, or, you know, I think you guys touched on this in the last episode, whether it was about like being chosen, like she knew that Jess was in the mix, and that feeling of like, I'm the one who succeeded, or I'm the one who won here, if that was a big driving factor more than anything
else.
And
like, if they had had like even one more day, would it have changed? Would it have swung back and forth and back and forth? But yeah, I mean, I think there was maybe one season where one woman did the proposing. Do you remember this? I feel like it was Giannina, whatever.
Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning, but I think I forget the guy's name in that equation. They were a fascinating dynamic too, but I think he proposed to her and then she proposed back. So it was like a little bit more of a mutual thing, or maybe I'm misremembering that. And she was the first one to propose, but yeah, it does. And I got that impression watching this episode, or the past couple of episodes of this season specifically, like the women did seem to be kind of like waiting to be chosen, waiting to see what the guy would decide, which, you know,
and even waiting to share that they had feelings for the men, like waiting to share like the I love yous. I felt there was a lot of holding back on that front. I don't think I've seen that before. I thought it was more mutual in previous seasons. Like, what do you think that's about? Why do you think they're waiting?
Why do I think that the women are waiting to share more?
And like holding back?
You know, I was wondering if that was editing, like if we just didn't see what, because, you know, these people are in pods for a long time. And I have to imagine that they are also getting interviewed by production. And part of that process has to be talking about what's driving their decisions and why they're choosing what they're choosing. I just wonder if that was like a weird blip in editing that we as the viewers didn't see that much about it. But that came up in so many, because that came up with Jeremy and Sarah Ann too, when he was not choosing Sarah Ann. He was like, I don't know. It's just a feeling. I just have to go by a feeling. And it's like, what is that feeling? And what are the thoughts that are creating that feeling for you? Like, I need more information to understand this.
I do too. But yeah, I do think I don't know that any of these people have ever been in this type of situation before where they're like, oh, I'm choosing between two people, which I don't actually necessarily think is a bad thing, because it does, to your point, like it forces you to slow down and be like, well, why this person instead of that person? Like, so that's why I also think it's a little bit confusing. We don't hear Chelsea's side of things, because obviously she and also Jimmy and Jeremy were all weighing options.
Yeah.
And so there was I have to imagine the comparison game between all of the parties involved, which means they're having a lot of thoughts about it. It has to go beyond the feelings, because it's just like, what? I 75% of the time feel positive around Jimmy and 68 around Trevor. Like, I don't know how we're basing that.
I know. And it's interesting because you're right. Like, the dynamic between Chelsea and Trevor seemed so much more solid. You know, like they were agreeing on so many things, and they just seemed to, I don't know, they just, their energy was different. But I think Chelsea's body language in so many of these places was really fascinating to me too. And I think kind of telling, because Jimmy would in the pods make some kind of declaration, like when he said, "I love you," and she would like dramatically fall to the floor. Like, what was that about? Was she not expecting it? Was she, I don't know. I just thought that was so weird. And I think she also fell to the floor when he proposed, if I'm remembering that correctly.
She did. Well, and also just her, you know, she talks a lot about like wanting to puke or sweat. So her association with things that most people would like think positively about have very like uncomfortable bodily sensations.
Yes. Yeah.
So
I do remember that from the proposal. There was a lot of her talking about being sweaty.
Yeah. Sweaty and puking a lot. Cause I watched back for it because we've been joking around it about that around here. I was like, the puking thing is interesting to me. But just to just choose somebody, but you also have like really like, I don't know about you, but I don't like puking. Having the feeling that I'm going to puke would be a turn off for me, not a turn on.
Not positive.
So maybe we'll never know. I've been trying to stay off of social media because I've heard it's gold. Like I've heard it's so good, but I've been trying to stay off so it doesn't, you know, infiltrate this a lot. But I wonder if she has expressed why she picked Jimmy at all.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything about that. I've seen a lot of, you know, headlines pop up and things like that. I've been trying to stay out of it too, for the most part. But yeah, there's got to be a reason. We just didn't get a lot of information. But I think that's a situation where being able to talk through it with a coach would have really benefited her, because as we thought when they got out of the pods, like a lot of insecurities seemed to be coming up for Chelsea. And yeah, I just would have loved to know the thought process behind that choice.
Did you get a sense that Chelsea was feeling insecure when she was in the pods? Because obviously we see a lot of that outside of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think what we just talked about, where she's like dramatically falling to the floor when he says, "I love you." And she even articulated then, like, "I was expecting you to tell me to get lost." And so that indicates some level of insecurity to me in the pods, but it definitely ramped up when we got out. And I mean, there was almost nothing but insecurity that we were seeing from Chelsea in person.
Yeah. What do you think that's about? Like, what do you think shifted for her that she's now thinking, feeling, acting insecure?
Well, obviously there's another variable in the mix, which is they're seeing each other in person. But I was really, you know, I was really fascinated by this because it is not, you know, it's not like Jimmy is an Adonis who is, you know, it's not like he's Brad Pitt. Like he's a nice looking man, but I don't understand that extreme level of insecurity. And so I think it had to have something to do with Jess, right? And I think Jess is objectively like a certain look. And she even heard that Jimmy said she looked like a Kardashian and all of that. So I would suspect that that was what was driving some of that insecurity. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, I do think it's some of the outside influence because it's just the two of them and they're in the pods and they hear different things from their respective, you know, male, female, like cohorts that they're with. But I don't know. I mean, you and I coach a lot of people that like to live up in their heads and to get down into your body and start, you know, like actually feeling your feelings and all of that is a huge shift that most of us aren't taught about. So I wonder if there was like a comfort zone for her. And I think maybe we talked about, I can't remember, I talked about this last week in the pause, of being up in your head essentially and just being a voice. Just being a voice and having that type of interaction. And now it's suddenly just like, okay, now you're seeing all of me and you can read my body language and do you like what you see? So I guess there was more of a focus on that part and, you know, just her hypervigilance on, do you like me? Do you not like me? Mostly looking to see, do you not like me? Essentially, I don't think she was looking for evidence that he actually liked her at all.
Because he was giving so much of it.
Yes.
You know, and I was so fascinated and curious to ask her, like, what about the words that he is saying? Like, I like the way you look. I love being with you. It doesn't even matter to me how you look, right? I love your personality. I love your jokiness, all that stuff. Like, what about that wasn't landing, that she wasn't able to just settle and believe him? And I always love that coachy question or coachy thought, like, who would you be without that thought?
Oh, yeah.
Who would you be without that feeling? And I think that would be so interesting for her here is like, what would this vacation be like for you without this insecurity or without this constant need to question?
Yeah.
Because I imagine she'd just be able to enjoy being time or enjoy having time with him and getting to know him. Be such a different experience.
And I wonder if that would help take the pressure away too. Like, hey, listen, I know you said you're promised to each other, like you proposed to, you know, and you said yes, but really, like, this is a time for you to get to know each other and to see if it's still a yes.
Right.
And it's okay either way. It doesn't mean anything negative about either party either way. I think too is, I think this just goes to show why, you know, often we think like, oh, we just need the external validation and then I will feel better. Like if somebody just says the words, then I can feel secure, then I can feel happy and being beholden to them, essentially like putting all the control in their hands. And here we see a situation where he is trying so desperately to validate her and it's just not landing. Why? Because she doesn't agree with what he's saying. There's some part of her that is blocked from hearing it and actually believing it herself. And so I think that I don't know. I find all of this fascinating. And I know this is why they're getting screen time as much as they are, because there is an interesting dynamic there. But I don't think there was anything that Jimmy could have done or said that would help that she would have heard. She thinks that's the answer. She thinks Jimmy just needs to repeat himself over and over and over again. But like, she wasn't open to hearing it. She was only looking for reasons why he didn't like her.
Yeah. And again, like what in her mind, what could shift that dynamic for her? Like what more could he possibly say to you or show you? How else could he be acting that would make you actually internalize that belief that like, this is safe. We are fine. His words are true. So yeah.
I mean, it's definitely something I bring up with a lot of my clients because they'll just be like, oh my gosh, you're like, external feedback is amazing. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's great to hear that somebody likes you, appreciates you, whatever. But just even reminding them, like, but you also have to believe it in order to accept and receive it.
Right.
And you still have a lot of control there. You don't need somebody to continuously say things. And I think, I don't know, that would be the thing I would probably want to help Chelsea see. That
right.
part.
And I think all of that insecurity was clouding her even being able to have a conversation with herself about like, do you like Jimmy? Are you enjoying being with this person? Like, I don't remember ever hearing any of that from her. It was all about like, does Jimmy like me? Is Jimmy satisfied with what he sees when he looks at me and that kind of thing. But again, like, do you actually like this man? Is this relationship enjoyable to you? What do you think, Chelsea?
And I think from her body language, no, like, I don't think she's that into him, but is having a hard time admitting that.
Yeah. Or even like going there because she's so, you know, even having that like evaluation with herself because she's so hung up on whether he likes her. Like it's all about that. And
all about that.
Which like, isn't the point at the end of the day, you're continuing this like emotional relationship that you developed. Like, where did that go?
I know. Yeah. I am so curious to see what happens on the altar. I have to believe one or both of them says no, but I would be shocked. I have not been exposed to any spoilers, so
me
it'll
either.
Be fresh tonight, which is amazing.
Are they going to decide tonight?
I think so, because next week is the reunion. So
oh my gosh, really? This is the end tonight?
I think so.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, right? Prepare yourself, Cam.
Yeah.
Well, the two of them. Like, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, you go.
As I'm watching them, like it reminds me of relationships that I used to have when I was like 16, right? It's like that level of emotional insecurity where you're like, or that level of emotional maturity where you're like just fighting to fight and like they're saying the right things, but it's not really shifting anything to you because you're just kind of committed to being mad or being right. It's Yeah, it was exhausting watching them have arguments, and yeah, I can't imagine how it
was,
felt to be there.
I was just like, okay, girl, like there are other humans out there in the world to date. You don't need this one that isn't working, that you are already like fighting with, and you just met each other. You have
I
just
know.
met.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of couples that are kind of dysfunctional, Laura and Jeremy.
What is going on there?
Well, you had some notes about boundaries. I mean, I was so surprised when she was just like, hard stop, no, no to the Hawaiian shirts and motorcycles. Like,
yeah.
Where is this coming from?
Yeah. And again, like, I think we saw the Hawaiian shirts that she was so offended by. They're like mild Hawaiian patterns, right? It's not like from what I saw anyway, unless he has like secrets in his closet. I wasn't seeing these like loud, crazy, really horrible Hawaiian shirts. They just were like subtle button downs with a very subtle Hawaiian vibe. But yeah,
inappropriate for being on vacation in the Dominican
yeah.
Republic. I was like, you're on the beach. Like,
yeah.
Of course you're going to wear like a cool button down that is made for this type of environment.
Yeah. I did not flag those as odd, but she sure did, because that was basically all she had to say to him was no Hawaiian shirts. She was even, you know, I just thought it was so interesting that he seemed enthusiastic, right? Like, he said, she's beautiful. She's like the one for me. She just feels right. Like, he had all of these positive things to say about her. And I never got any of that from her toward him. The opposite, in fact. It was like, don't do this. You're annoying. Don't wear your shirts. Don't ride your motorcycles. Like, that's all I heard.
That's all I heard too. And I also think the motorcycle thing was interesting, because it wasn't like, hey, you know what? I feel really nervous when I think about you on a motorcycle, like, or I've had this experience in the past where maybe someone I love died or whatever, you know, like something, but it was like, no, you can have one. So it wasn't even like a safety thing. It was like a
control. Yeah.
So much so. And I, like, again, another situation where we didn't really see this in the pods. I think he liked that she called him out on things, but it wasn't to this extent where now she's also shutting down affection. Now she's shutting down his personality, his jokes, his clothing, his habits. Like, what do you think? What's the deal with Laura? Like, what is the deal here?
I have no idea. I was thinking about it. And it's funny too, because when Jeremy, like the very few justifications he gave to Sarah Ann about why their relationship wasn't going to work, he was like, well, sometimes our banter just gets to be too much. And I was like, buckle up, buddy. You're about to get banter only from Laura. But yeah, it is interesting because something had to shift, right? She was not that way in the pods. She was, you know, they were talking about what their life together would look like, and they were aligning on things like, you know, not having dishes in the sink and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And they both, you know, she was doing like the little heart gestures with her hands.
Yeah.
And, you know, she seemed like affectionate and enthusiastic in that way. And then as soon as they saw each other in person, it was a really different story. I didn't see any of that.
No, not at all. And like, to be clear, Jeremy is not off the hook here because for reasons.
Yeah, it is fascinating knowing where that goes. And I don't know if you want to skip ahead or spoiler.
We'll leave it. But yeah. I just want to like be clear. Like, when we're highlighting Laura here, Jeremy also has some things that are interesting that come up in the show. But I really think this is maybe another situation too where, you know, it's totally fine if she met him in person and was just like, ooh, actually there's some mannerisms here and some personality things I didn't see in the pod that maybe just like don't gel for me in terms of an ongoing relationship. But it felt to me like what you were talking about, like she didn't really give him a chance to be himself, or just to be like, okay, who is the person in front of me versus the idea that she seemed to have about him. I think she was very much still trying to date the person she thought he was versus, okay, now we have the whole package of human. What do we got here?
Yeah.
Do I like this person? Do I want to continue on with this person? I think she was holding him to some standard that she had in her head that she was not expressing to him, or expressing only by forbidding him to be anything but that ideal.
Yes. And just telling him all the things he's doing wrong. Yeah. I don't know. It really is interesting because I was like, what's behind this shift? And I don't know that it was insecurity on her part. Like, she never expressed any insecurity. She never, you know, she was not doing the whole Chelsea thing of doubting herself. It didn't seem like that. So I do wonder if you're right that when they saw each other in person, like the vibes were just off, which, you know, maybe it was a physical thing, right? Maybe it was mannerisms. That's why I've been kind of reflecting on, would I put myself in a situation like this? And I just don't know, because it is so much about, like, yeah, the connection and the communication that you have, but it's also like a physical thing, even if it isn't traditional attractive versus not attractive, like people's mannerisms, their vibes, like that all plays a role, I think. And
yeah,
perhaps that's what's getting in the way for Laura here. We really don't know.
No, we don't know. But yeah, I think it was a bummer for me. I think that's what it was. Is I'm like, oh, like whatever's going on for her is really keeping her from seeing the person in front of her.
Yeah.
Or maybe some spidey sense on her part was just like, nope, not this guy. Let's
maybe.
put the walls up.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I don't think I want to like stay on this road with Jeremy. Yeah, you're right. I don't know that it's insecurity. I would not call Laura an insecure person. She seemed very maybe protective of something, like
something.
Guards
yeah.
are
And
up.
I think this show, they should do like a spin-off where a coach comes in and it's like, hey, I'm noticing some differences in your behaviors here and how you're showing up from the pods versus in person. Like, what is that about? What's coming up for you? Because again, we just don't know as the viewer.
Yeah. Well, and it could even be that question gets asked and Laura's just like, I don't know, he's just annoying. And so
yeah.
I think that's where it takes like, okay, let's slow this down. Let's just even look at, you know, yesterday when you were saying to him, don't wear that Hawaiian shirt. Like, what led you to that decision? Like slowing it down. Cause I think my hunch would just be like, oh, as a collective whole, no, he's a no to me. He's kind of annoying. And so it's like being able to parse that out a little bit.
Right.
Could have saved them a lot of pain.
Yes, for sure. But like, I'm not even positive whether she likes him and wants to continue this relationship or not. Her behavior is kind of indicating no, but at no point does she say like, oh, this is a no for me in person. You know, she doesn't say that directly. So I don't even know if she's like in it and she's not really realizing how much she is criticizing him or telling him he's annoying, or if she's doing that kind of intentionally, unclear.
Do you think sometimes it's just a matter of, I mean, like we as humans don't necessarily like to be wrong. And do you think it could be something along the lines of where Laura is just like, okay, I thought this person was 100% a yes, but if I say no right now, that I'm wrong about what I thought 2 days ago.
Yeah, I think that's a definite possibility. And I wonder if that's a conscious thing or a subconscious thing. I think one of the commonalities between so many of these cast members is they do not seem to know themselves on a deep level or be able to be like, oh, I'm feeling this way because I'm thinking this thing, right? It doesn't seem that conscious. And I think that that could benefit them hugely.
I think so too. It just makes me think that, like, you know, there's a lot of people that come on the show. They don't show most of them. And I was like, oh, all of the people that maybe are self-aware do not make TV.
Yeah.
And everyone else is just kind of like, okay.
Right. That's so funny that you bring that up. Cause I was like, what do I want to say about, what are their names? The fact that I can't even remember their names is telling.
Johnny and Amy.
Johnny and Amy. Yeah. I'm like, they do not belong on reality television. They are like, they seem emotionally mature. They seem to non-dramatically enjoy each other. And as a result, they're not getting a lot of screen time and we don't have much to say about them because
no,
they're just like good, healthy people, it seems. Yeah.
Right. And their problems all seem very legit. Like, oh, we have to work that out. But it's like, but we both share the common goal of wanting to get married and we vibe with each other and all that. Yeah, there's not much language for people or like conversations around, you know, do we call it quits?
Mm-hmm.
Is this actually working? And maybe that's happening off screen, like at all, but mostly they just have conversations like, oh, this is awkward.
Yeah.
This is a little weird. Oh, I'm just kidding. You know, like, I'm just getting used to you being in person versus being like open and honest about like, yeah, this is a weird experiment. And now just seeing you in person, I am evaluating and like letting it be okay that we're both in an evaluation phase.
Yes, I think that would be huge in terms of taking the pressure off for them to be like, this doesn't have to be a done deal yet. Like, we're still getting to know each other. And now we're getting to know each other in a physical way, which we weren't in the pods. And of course, that's wobbly or awkward or uncertain. Yeah, they don't seem to make room for that.
Oh, not at all. It's just sort of, I said yes, so let's proceed as if this is a done deal. And I mean, I can't, like, there's just so many other things at play. They have their contracts, they have whatever side dynamic is going on. If they have a social media following that they want to do and pursue, and, you know, they want screen time at all costs. But like, I think what they forget about is the cost is their own like mental and emotional health. There have been so many people on these shows that left and were like, you'll hear comments like, I wish I had never done that. Or, well, I to dig myself out of the hole that this created in my life was very hard. Like, it was a very hard situation. And so I think that's also missed too, is because we don't talk about like, okay, what is the cost of having your life spread out for the world to comment on?
Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. Because that's the thing, I haven't gotten deep into this, but a lot of what I've seen on social media pop up about Chelsea is how unlike Megan Fox she looks. And if that's all you're getting, you know, just like a constant barrage of that online alone has to be really hard. Not to mention how they kind of lay themselves bare emotionally.
And that's being kind. I mean, the people that get death threats, you shouldn't even be alive.
It's
like awful.
But also, to go on a show like this, you have to expect that, right? Like, you have to think through the process of what this is going to be like before, during, after. I feel like I would consider that, but again,
but think about the things that on the small scale that we've done in our lives that we're like, okay, let's go off on our own and be coaches, right?
Yeah.
Where you're just like, this is great. And I see the highlight reel from all these other humans. It's going to be off. Awesome. And then you actually do the thing. And then you're like, okay, like Chelsea, I want to puke.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And that's like on a, like a normalized, like a lot of people in the world have their own businesses, small scale, whatever. Not that it's a small thing, but I think it's got to be one of those things where you're just like, okay, could it really be that bad?
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like it is really that bad from everything that I've heard, but yeah, it's a wild thing to sign on for, you know?
Absolutely. And you even hear quite a few of them mention and tell of, I have worked with a therapist or some other person to help me work through issues in my life. So you do hear a lot of that happening. Yeah. With like Clay and AD talk about it. I know at one point Matthew talked about it. I'm not sure for Jimmy, Chelsea, Trevor, Laura, Jeremy, if they've ever talked about it.
I'm not getting that impression.
No, but maybe now, maybe this has sent them in the direction of it. I mean, I do like, if they weren't aware of things going on for themselves before, I wonder if rewatching this helps them become aware, because it's, you can't unsee it, because, you know, with a narrative like this, it is very like, okay, here's your storyline. You, Laura, do not like the shirts. You do not like how he behaves. And it's shown over and over and over again.
Right. Right.
And so what do you make of that? Again, Jeremy is not an innocent party in all of this, but.
Right. Yes. That becomes clear. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've heard reality people who have been on these shows say that it is enlightening to be able, because, you know, you're in your head, you're in your own experience, like you're kind of holding on to your story. And then to be able to see yourself reflected back and to see the other variables in the mix and the other characters and their perceptions of things, like it does kind of illuminate a lot for you. So I'm sure that's happening for them here, but yeah, really good time for them to reach out for some support.
Really good time. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, what do you think about moving on to Clay and AD? Cause they do have some moments, in these episodes.
So fascinating.
Very. Yeah. What do you think about their relationship?
I have a lot to say. I mean, I think AD, almost to a fault, I think AD should be a coach.
Yeah.
Like, she is so thoughtful and curious, and she's obviously a very good listener and she's very open. I thought the dynamic between her and Matt was really interesting very early on. I think she's clearly done work, right? She like mentions therapy. She mentions that she's worked on a lot and processed a lot. So she, I imagine, has a level of emotional maturity that is not shared by some of her partners on the show. And yeah, it's interesting because I think if she did get into a healthy relationship or a healthy partnership on the show, she would have kind of gone the way of Johnny and Amy, where like, there's not much to say, right? They're just like getting along well and communicating well and all of that. But she ends up with Clay, who has not done this work and is forthcoming.
He's
about
open to it.
That. Yeah, which I think is a good sign, right? I'm not sure how I feel about Clay yet. Because on one hand, he puts his foot in his mouth. He delivers things in very odd ways. But then on the other hand, he's like, I can acknowledge that I'm a little messed up and that I haven't done this work, but I'm open to doing this work. And so I don't know what to think and feel about Clay just yet. I've seen good signs and I've seen red flags.
Yeah, that's the way I feel too. And I think, to your point before, where, you know, like we're seeing signs that like AD has done some work, it goes beyond her even saying, okay, I've been to therapy or whatever. To me, like what stood out is that when she was sharing vulnerably with Clay, you didn't get the impression that she was waiting for him to say like, no, 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 you're lovable,
right,
and wanting that validation. It was like, I want to share with you, but I've also got me. Like, I always get that impression from AD. She's like, I've got me.
Yeah.
And I feel complete in me. And you are a human that's coming in that's just like helps me pursue the things that I want in life and compliment me and that I would be attracted to and have like that type of relationship.
Yes.
But I didn't get the impression from her that she was just like, please love me. Like,
right,
please choose me.
Not at all. Yeah, I love that observation. I think that's totally true. And it's a really interesting thing to hold up next to a Chelsea and Jimmy kind of dynamic where she's like constantly needing that affirmation and he's giving it and it's not even doing anything for her, as opposed to AD, who, you know, shared that she didn't feel lovable. But I think you're right. I don't think, while Clay came right in and was like, are you crazy? You're totally lovable. Mm. I don't think she was sharing that to get something from him necessarily.
Yeah.
I think she was just sharing what was true for her. And yeah, she does have her own back. It seems like that she doesn't need that validation. That's like a nice to have, but that's just something that she's working on and being vulnerable about.
Yeah, that's what I got too. It was just almost like highlighting it, like, hey, this is the next thing I am working on in my life, is really truly being able to receive here. But it's also going to be possibly an obstacle in our relationship because this is hard for me. So I think it's useful information to share with him. Whether or not he knows what to do with that information is probably where we're trending towards red flag, because some of the things he said were very confusing. Like you noted, like he was very confused about weddings, what happens at weddings.
Well, he used to have never attended a wedding or
heard any of, like, you know,
yeah.
And he's like, a ring, I get to wear a ring. I was like,
when? Where? He's so funny. Yeah, I was chuckling at Clay as I was watching this. But yeah, unclear about how rings work, unclear about, you know, it seems like the traditions of a traditional wedding, like who walks you down the aisle. But I also think that that is interesting, right? He had this really like neutral perspective about like, of course your brother should do it, right? Like, yeah, traditions say your dad should walk you down the aisle, but in your situation, it seems like your brothers are the best possible candidate for that. And I thought that was interesting. His like seeming lack of knowledge about how weddings traditionally flow is actually a benefit here, because he's like, no, play around with it. It doesn't have to be traditional. Like your dad not being around shouldn't hold you back. And here's what this could look like instead. So Clay having a coachy moment unknowingly.
Well, it really does. Cause it's like, if it is a blank slate or he is used to just saying whatever's on his mind without shaping it in any way, shape or form to seem a certain way. Like maybe for AD, she is getting like, what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
I like initially was just like, is this kind of like a total player? But I think he's just actually maybe a little bit more clueless than he is. Yeah. Like, I'm going to get all the ladies. I was like, I think he just doesn't know. Like he's got, I think he, you know, he shares that his example with his father is that his dad cheated a lot and stuff too. And so it could just be that like, didn't have a variety of male role models growing up to like to know how like how he wanted to act as a man. And now that he is a man, he's kind of still seems like he's looking around going, okay, how do I want to be? Like, how do I want to show up? And he is open to ideas. Like you definitely see him gel with the men and the men's quarters and like just really want to take information from them and learn from them. But he's just, I think in their relationship, I think AD is like miles ahead of Clay and it's hard to see if he's going to catch up.
Yeah. Or, you know, she seems to have infinite patience, which is probably going to serve them both well. But yeah, like, would you want to be in a relationship with someone who's miles behind you in terms of progress they've made and understanding themselves and, you know, working through their stuff? Maybe she seems into it. Maybe. She doesn't seem terribly upset about it, but yeah, that could get exhausting. But I do like that Clay, like he just seemed kind of stunted, right? He seems to have like never explored these ideas before of like, how do I want to show up as a man? And like, what is the kind of masculinity that I'm choosing? And how do I want to relate to women? Like, is it all about how they look physically or is there more there? That did not seem to have occurred to him to explore until these moments. And I think it's lovely that he's open to and willing to explore, but I'm like, how did this not come up before? But
maybe, right.
Maybe he just didn't have the modeling for it.
Maybe. Yeah. Cause when he was just like, AD, I'm going to tell you if you have gained weight and tell you to go to the gym. And she was like, no, this is not how we talk. And he's just like, yeah, I'll be like your personal trainer. She's like, no. I have a personal trainer. It's not you. You are my husband, you know? So I think, I don't know. I mean, I do think in some situations that's where some insecurity could be expressed, like liking that somebody's miles behind, because then it's just like, okay, well then I get to shape them. Like, I get to have the upper hand in a way. So I'm not saying that necessarily where AD is coming from, but it could be a dynamic in a relationship of like, okay, we're not at the same page and I feel a comfort in you being so like, quote unquote, far behind.
Right. Yeah. It's like, I get to kind of help you into a place that would serve both of us and serve the relationship. So yeah, I could see that being true. But yeah, that moment when he said that again, like Clay, it just didn't seem to occur to him that that would not be received well. And yeah, when he said like, are good trainers easy on you? It's like, you're not my trainer, bud. At no point did I ask you to be my trainer.
Well, I also don't remember if they ever shared what his relationship history it is. It could be that he's had a series of flings or like very short relationships. So he doesn't really know like what a long-term situation looks like. My hunch tells me that maybe he hasn't had much that has been like kind of a long-term, vulnerable, steady committed relationship, which is totally fine, but it's whether or not AD is on board to like bring him up to that level.
Be the one. Yeah.
Oh man. Anything else about that before we move on?
Let's see. Yeah, I just, from what I remember, you know, he talks about his dad as being a player. He talks about the friends in his life, like pretty much being the same, like getting a lot of girls. And that's all I really hear him say about past relationships. So I imagine that he has not had a lot of practice with like, what does a healthy long-term situation look like? And yeah, so we'll see how that goes. This is another couple where I have no idea what's going to happen.
Clue.
Yeah.
Well, and I think too is what you were just saying there, like not only his dad, but if his friends are also like that, I mean, him transitioning to being in a long-term relationship with somebody would probably mean that he would lose that friend group if they're all used to going out, partying, meeting, you know, like random partners here and there. So that could also be something that is a roadblock if the community he has surrounded himself with, if their relationship doesn't fit into that lifestyle, it might be a choosing situation. It could also be a situation, and we haven't seen any of this, where AD is like, okay, we need to shift away. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they decide as a couple to shift away. And I mean, that's a huge choice. That can be a deal breaker for a lot of people. It's like, hey, if you don't accept my friends, or if you don't accept my lifestyle with my friends, like this isn't going to work. So yeah. I could see that coming into play a little bit, but I also think Clay is at this interesting crossroads in his life where he's just like, do I want to go the route of husband and, you know, figure out that, or do I still want to be like in my 20s having a good time?
And again, like the very fact that you signed up for this show to find a wife, indicates to me that you maybe should have explored that question with yourself before, you know, you signed up to fall in love and get married, which would, you know, traditionally mean leaving that kind of player vibe behind, but who knows if he was able to think through that. I think regardless, the two of them are going to have some work to do. They're going to have some stuff to work on as a couple, but I have absolutely no idea what the altar is going to look like for them.
No clue. And I think I have heard that Clay had never seen the show ahead of time. I think maybe he was scouted for the show. Maybe. He does in future episodes reference, oh, I was watching episodes of Love is Blind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe to know what goes on.
Gosh. Yeah. I don't know. He is just a mystery to me. It's wild.
Oh man. Yeah. He is very, very much a mystery to me. I will say, like, and I know we said this the last podcast episode, I'm not getting much in terms of what their day-to-day life would look like. Mostly either have a fight or just validate each other. So I'm not really sure what else is there.
Yeah. I feel like they're doing less this season of showing us their lives outside of the pods. Yeah. And I know that's not what these episodes are about, but I feel like I'm getting less of a sense of who these characters are in their actual real lives. Whereas in past seasons, I feel like we've gotten a little bit more of that, which kind of rounds them out in a way that I'm still like, I really feel like I know these people very well at this point.
Oh, I don't either. I mean, just right now, I was just like, wait, who are the other two people we haven't talked about at all?
Oh, it's Kenneth and Brittany.
Yeah.
Who are another big question mark to me.
Yes.
Because I think I wrote in the notes, they give me like brother-sister energy. They're saying the right things. They're saying like, I love this man and I love this woman and God put us together and all of these things. But like, I am not feeling that at all when they're on my screen. Are you?
No, not at all. I think it's like, they like each other on paper. Like, hey, you check all of the boxes of what I've been looking for in a mate. And we have established this in the pods. And I like what you're saying. I like what you're saying. And this is what I want my partner to say. And I do think it's another one of those dynamics where they showed up and see each other in person and maybe are just not attracted to each other. There just maybe isn't much for them to go on. I don't know.
Brittany described it as feeling no ick, which is not the same as enjoying what I see, right? Well, I didn't find you disgusting. Not what I would want
to hear.
That is
such a good point.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That is such a good point. I forgot about that. But yeah, I don't feel ick. Okay.
Okay. Good to know. What do you feel?
Are you trying to imagine if somebody ever said that to me? Like, well, I don't feel repulsed by you.
Right. Yeah. You're like, oh. That makes me feel confident. Yeah. So.
Yes.
That was another red flag for me. I don't think that bodes well for them. And I think theirs is a dynamic where like, there's nothing wrong here, right? There's no like major red flags. I'm not feeling ick, but like, are you feeling enthusiasm? Are you feeling positive emotions? Like, is this feeling good to you? And again, we don't see that. We just see like the absence of terrible.
The absence of terrible. Well, I remember like back in my dating days, I would just have like two questions I would ask myself, like, did I have a good time? And do I want to see this person again? And it was interesting. I kind of feel like their situation is that like, oh, did I have a good time meeting this person? Absolutely. Yes. Do I want to see them again? No, not much to go on here.
Yeah.
You know, and if you feel indifferent, like maybe it's a no to moving forward. They're at a stage where it's like, okay, both parties got to drive towards the altar here, because just showing up and checking boxes isn't enough.
Yeah. Right. And I think that was so interesting, the point you brought up, that like they don't seem to be considering no as an option actively, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't seem to be like, are we going to be together or are we not? We're still figuring that out. It's like, no, we got engaged in the pods. And so we're like a yes by default. So let's just try to like make that work. And yeah. I think that's why we're seeing this kind of awkwardness or uncertainty, why it's not like super clear to us as a viewer, because I don't think they're being really honest with themselves that either option is available to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder too, is how much time they actually have to sit and think, like mm-hmm. to actually have a moment with their thoughts. I know they have their journals and stuff, but they seem to be for the sole purpose of writing notes about people that they meet.
Yeah.
And then of course, when they're in the Dominican Republic, they're sharing a room together. So it's not like, okay, let me go huddle over here with my journal and decide if I like you or not while you're over yeah. there, like brushing your teeth. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I was watching a documentary about a cult like a okay. month ago. And basically one of the guys on the show was just like, was in it fully until he had a moment where everybody left. And he's like, I had a moment to myself with my thoughts and I thought things through and I realized I should not be in there. And yeah. it just made me wonder of like, do these people actually have space to think? Because you and I are like, oh, if they would just think about this a little bit more, but I'm like, do they actually have this basic human need of having some time and space? Maybe not.
Right. That's a really good point. And as you're saying that, I'm like, I am a hardcore introvert and it, mm-hmm. you know, like even just thinking of what that would do to my nervous system to be like, you get to live together. You've never seen each other in person and you're still digesting that. And you basically just met a couple of weeks ago and now you're in the same room. It's a hotel room. You know, you're all up in each other's space. You don't have that quiet alone space to retreat to sort through your thoughts and feelings, you know, to give them some time to germinate. So I think that might be really jarring for a lot of them too. It's like, you guys are together. You're in the same 24/7 all the time. Yeah.
So, and that really could explain a lot about Laura and Jeremy. I could totally mm-hmm. see Laura being kind of more introverted, wanting her own space, having things a certain way, and just suddenly tossing two people in a hotel room. It's a right. lot. It's it a is. Lot.
Yeah. Yeah, for yeah. sure. So that could be coming into play here too. These poor people.
I would guess. I know. These poor people. Well, oh my gosh. I feel like there's so much more from these episodes, but we are at our time. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up today?
I just love this show and I hope they keep making it forever. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, I will watch every episode because it really is just such a fascinating concept. And I really appreciate that things like this exist.
Truly. And I, you know, haven't watched Love is Blind from other countries, but
either.
Yeah. But I did see a little note the other day on Netflix that Love is Blind Sweden. They're like now dubbed over into English, which has been a barrier for me because sometimes it's hard to read quickly enough and mm-hmm. take everything in for these shows in particular. So I was like, oh, maybe that would be an option if after this is over and there's a big Love is Blind shaped hole in my heart.
No, that always happens, right?
I know.
It becomes such a like big presence in your life and then it's just gone and it feels you could just.
Yeah, but, I know.
Yeah.
Well, Kim, if somebody wanted to find you online, where would they go looking?
Oh my gosh. Please come hang out with me. I'm on Instagram at Kimberly Severson Coaching. That's also my website, KimberlySeversonCoaching.com. As I said, I have a podcast called Weight Loss Doesn't Have to Suck. We are having a really good time there. So yeah, come hang out.
Yay. Well, Kim, thanks for coming on the show today. This has been a blast. I absolutely loved it. And definitely would love to have you back on for a different show.
Oh my gosh.
It sounds like maybe you watch a wide range.
That could be true. Yes. I would love to come back.
All right. Well, signing off for today. Thanks, Kim.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is produced by Josh Jones. Our theme music is by David Delaney of the Whiskey Boys. You can find him at whiskeyboys.com or click the link in the show notes. If you like what you've heard today, share this podcast with a friend.